places. First, we'll look at Matthew chapter 7. We'll skip verse 12 and we'll start at verse 13. Just read the verses 13 and 14. Then I would like to skip over to the Gospel of Luke and get to the right passage here. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 22 through 30. So hold your finger in Luke 13, and then we'll flip over there after we read Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. These are similar passages where Jesus seems to be talking about the same thing, and so I'm drawing from both of these passages as we will look at God's Word today. Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 13, this is the Word of God. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Then over to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in the streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And the people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Here ends the reading of God's Word. Where is your life heading? What goals have you set for your spiritual life? What weak areas of your life do you see that need to be strengthened? It's been pretty well established that successful people set goals for their lives and work diligently to achieve those goals. I'm sure we could all benefit from being more self-disciplined and goal-oriented with proper goals. I think the passages that we just read from Matthew 7 and Luke 13 could help us in this regard. The most important decision you'll ever make is which gate you will enter and which way you will go. I'm not talking about a career decision. It's not about a decision concerning your relationship with your spouse or your child or a friend or a neighbor or a parent. These kinds of decisions are important but should be subordinate to the more important question of which way will you go in your life. That decision will influence the other decisions that you will make. It's really a decision about who you are. Will you be a godless, self-centered, self-seeking person who is swept along with only the concerns of this world? Or will you be a God-fearing, God-serving person, even though it's not the popular choice? Will you be one of the crowd rushing toward destruction? Or will you be one of the few who seeks that which is right and true? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has spoken about many important things. And at this point, in his sermon. We're getting toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if you can finally believe that we're getting there. So he's spoken about many things, and he begins to call them now to follow him. But it's more than a call. It's more like a command. He commands us to choose the narrow way that leads to life rather than continue on the broad way that leads to destruction. Is it the right way? If it is the right way, it is the way of being a real person, to be what God intended you to be. And on this narrow way, you will find better companions. They may be fewer, but they will be better companions with the same heart for God and the same desire to serve him. Jesus tells us here that the narrow way leads to life, not destruction. The narrow way leads to life, and it leads to an eternity of happiness and blessing. You must decide to be what the world and Satan wants you to be, or what God wants you to be. To go along with the crowd down the road to destruction, or with the few that go toward eternal life. To death or to life? That's the question. I must tell you that not to decide is already to make a decision. Because if you have not decided to follow Christ on the narrow way, the only other option is the broad way. There is no middle way we can partake so that we can partake of what we want to from the good things of the narrow way and the good things of the broad way. No, no middle way. It's one or the other. Not to choose the narrow way is to stay on the broad way that leads to destruction. We all start out on the broad way. The only way you can get off the Broadway that leads to destruction is to intentionally take the exit to the narrow way. You might say, well, wait, I'm a good Presbyterian. I believe in election. God chooses me, so I don't have to worry about this. Well, you might think that, but yes, God does choose you. But that doesn't mean you also have to make your own intentional choice in your life. It means that God enables you to make a choice, but you still must make that choice for yourself. There will never be a question of whether or not God has chosen you, because when you're able to make a sincere decision to follow Christ, you know that he has chosen you. You cannot assume that because your parents were believers and that maybe, I guess you are too, you were raised by them, you must be a Christian too. Or because your spouse is a believer that you must be a believer too. You can only be certain if you're willing with your whole heart to embrace the gospel and believe it for yourself. This morning I want to encourage you to choose the narrow way. Many of you have already chosen the narrow way. Maybe all of you have already chosen the narrow way. But if you have, I want to encourage you to continue in that narrow way. Matthew speaks of the narrow gate or the narrow way. And what do they represent? What does it represent? He mentions the gate. A gate, of course, is the entry point upon the way that you go, that continues on in a particular direction. It is not the gate to heaven. Entering that gate will come at the end of the journey. The gate mentioned here is the entryway into your life with the Lord, an initial entry point on a path that you will take for the rest of your life. Entering through that gate is the initial act of obedience and to a life of obedience and a life of trusting in the Lord. Continuing on the narrow way is about a life of obedience. Continuing in that way of the first act of trust and obedience that you made when you chose to go in the narrow way. Another way to look at it is that the gate is a crisis point. A crisis point in your life when you are faced with a decision that you must make this way or that way. To follow Christ or to not follow Christ. Towards sin or away from sin and toward righteousness. It may be a point in which you may never want, it may be a point to which you may never turn once you have made that choice. Once you've made that choice, you're on the right way if you choose the narrow way. But if you choose the broad way, you may never get another chance at making that choice again. In a similar way in Luke chapter 13, but in a different setting, which is not part of a Sermon on the Mount in what Jesus talks about in Luke, but he's speaking about the same kind of thing. He speaks about the narrow door in Luke chapter 13. Here he speaks of striving to enter the narrow door. In other words, making that choice is not necessarily going to be always easy. It might be something you have to strive after. And he says, many will try to enter, but will not be able. Why will they not be able to enter if they're striving to enter? Because the master of the house will one day shut that door. They will try again to gain entrance, and they will say, we ate and drank with you in your presence, and you taught us in our streets. But he will respond, I don't know where you come from, you workers of evil. The picture here is a little more frightening, with people banging on the door trying to gain entrance. And his response is, I don't know, you workers of iniquity. Comparing the two passages, we could say that Matthew speaks of a time when everyone has the opportunity to follow Jesus, but only a few find that way. Only a few look for it and find it. There are many others who don't even bother to look for the narrow way, and they continue on the broad path to destruction. Most people are happy to go the way of most people are going, where truth is not important. Truth can be whatever you want it to be. All that's important is that you do what other people are doing, and you agree with them that it's a good thing to be doing. There's comfort in numbers. Everybody can't be wrong, can they? But the truth and right are not determined by a majority vote. Truth is determined by God alone. We know men are fallible and often wrong, and worse, are often just plain evil. If we open our eyes and our hearts, we can also see that God has revealed the truth in his word. God's word has often been criticized and questioned, but if you search it out, you will find it to be the truth. There are answers to every criticism, and truth is revealed in God's word. The passage in Luke speaks of the end of time when the door will be closed. The time when many who have rejected Christ all their lives will realize the mistake, but it's too late. The door has been closed. The master of the house has shut the door. When that happens, it's too late. That will be the torment of the wicked for eternity. The realization that they had opportunity to believe the truth but rejected it. And now the door is shut. It's too late. Why is the narrow way the right way? Is it the right way because it's the easiest way? No. God's word tells us plainly that it's not necessarily the easiest way. It's easier to drive on a wider road. There's greater degree of acceptability on the wider road. The broad way has fewer do's and don'ts that you have to worry about. The narrow way does have do's and don'ts that you must not do, or things that you must do and things that you must not do. And that's we know as the commandments of God, the teachings of God's word. The narrow way is not easy because it's not natural to our sinful nature. The narrow way takes self-control, and that's difficult. And we have to control ourselves in order to be able to walk down that narrow way. We can't just wander all over. We have to be careful to stay on that narrow way. If you stop and think about it, if one of the hardest things to control in this world is yourself. The narrow way goes against the flow of things. It goes against the flow of the world. It's a lot easier to go with the flow. Going against the flow of the world is like trying to walk through a crowd of people that are walking in the opposite direction. I was just up in New York City a few weeks ago, and walking on those crowded streets of New York City, if you're going against the crowd, you have to fight on your hands, just weaving in and out and trying to go against everybody who's going the opposite direction. So going against the flow is hard to do. It's hard to go against that flow of our own sinful desires as well. Because of our sinful hearts, our hearts are constantly trying to turn us to the way of the broad way. The broad way is the flow of our sinful nature. It's easier to give in instead of resisting our sinful tendencies. The narrow way is not necessarily the most attractive way. The things of the world are really tempting. They really look good. All the things that wealth can buy, the sensual pleasures of this world, gratification of our appetites and our desires, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light and makes all these evil things look very desirable. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14. The broad way has a strong attraction to our sinful natures. Wouldn't you rather have all that the broad way offers than the only few things that are on that little narrow way? Going the narrow way means rejection by many people who are on the broad way. Perhaps even persecution from them. Compared to what seems to be the heavy obligations of the narrow way, at least as we often see them, the broad way may seem to be a better way to go. While the narrow way may not be the easiest or most attractive way, it does have real advantages. It has the promise of comfort in persecution and suffering, as it says in Hebrews 13:5, that the Lord promises to never leave us or forsake us. The promise of being fully satisfied and content with those few things that are on the narrow way. Those seeking the pleasures of this world are never satisfied. No matter how many pleasures they seek to enjoy, they are never satisfied. But the Lord promises to satisfy us on the narrow way. In Philippians 4:11, the Apostle Paul says that he has learned to be fully content with what the Lord had given him. Have we learned that? We should be trying to learn that. In Matthew 5:6, at the beginning of the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Righteousness is on the narrow way. And if we seek that, we will find real satisfaction. The blessings of forgiveness is also on the narrow way. Knowing our sins are forgiven and we will not be judged for our sins, which deserve eternal damnation. What a great comfort that is, that we have forgiveness on the narrow way. Not to mention the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord that fills our hearts every day as we follow him. These are not just future promises. These are blessings we enjoy each day and every day that we walk with the Lord on the narrow way. This is what makes the narrow way the right way. This is the way that life was meant to be. The broad way cannot offer these blessings. Though those on the broad way seek these blessings, they will never find them. It is also true that the narrow way is the only way that you can be a real person. A real person is a person who is what God intended him or her to be. God created man to find fulfillment in glorifying and enjoying him. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is man's chief end? Or we could rephrase it a little bit and say, what is man's main purpose? The answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. This is what the narrow way is all about. It's not about restrictions. It's about the freedom to serve and enjoy the fellowship with your Creator and your Savior. The so-called pleasures of this world are really not pleasures at all. They become prisons of compulsions and addictions that bring you to ruin physically, emotionally, and financially. So if the narrow way is the right way, how do you enter the narrow way? You get rid of everything that will hinder you from entering the narrow gate. You can't go through the narrow door with your arms full and a large backpack on the back. The gate is too narrow for all that. You can't bring all of your worldly possessions with you. Do you remember what Jesus told the rich young ruler when he was inquiring about the kingdom of God? Jesus says, go and sell all you have and follow me. Was he able to do that? No. He went away sorrowful because he had many possessions that he could not depart from. What does that mean for us today? It means we should keep only what we can use for the Lord. Anything that we have that we can't use for the Lord is extra baggage. That means that we probably all have some house cleaning to do. We probably all have some things that we need to lighten our load with to help us down the narrow way. But the greatest hindrance we have is not our material possessions, but our own self-righteousness. Our self-righteousness is of no value to God. It's the biggest piece of extra baggage that we have. Our self-righteousness is of no value to God. We need to recognize that there is nothing that we can do to earn salvation. All we need to enter the narrow gate is the righteousness of Christ, which we receive through faith alone. Don't come with your resume of accomplishments or total of how much money you have given to worthwhile causes or a list of all you have accumulated and all the good things that you have done. Come humbly with the only thing that counts, your trust in Christ and what he's done for you. The narrow way is the right way because it's the only way that we can come to him. He doesn't want our stuff. He wants us with our trust only in him and with our hearts committed only to him. Secondly, choose the narrow way because there is a better company down the narrow way. There are many on the broad way. These are the everybodies of the phrase, everybody's doing it. Parents hear this a lot from their children, singing the blues about everybody is doing something that they would like to do, but you're not letting them do. It's normal. We don't like to be left out, and we have others think that we are weird because we don't have or do what everybody else is doing. But it's not just our kids. We adults also have to admit we have that same problem. The idea is really not true, though. If you have to have everything everyone else has in order to have friends, they are not really the friends that you think they are, but they are competitors in a competition to see who has the most and the best. If you have to do what everybody else does to have friends, then you're not truly friends. With these kinds of relationships, there's really no companionship. This is the kind of company you will find on the Broadway that leads to destruction. The fewer on the narrow way are really better company. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus tells the parable of the wedding feast of a king where there was a guest in attendance without a wedding garment. And the king ordered the guest to be bound and to cast into outer darkness. In explaining this parable, Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." While there are few on the narrow way, they are better company. In the end, there will be no imposters who do not belong. Are you seeking fellowship with the world or with God and his people? It may seem that this world, we are a minority, but in Revelation, it speaks of those in heaven as being a great multitude that no one could count. That's in Revelation 7, verse 9. While you may feel that you do not have a lot of companions with you on the narrow way, you're really not alone. Especially in a small church, you may seem a little bit more alone than if you were in a larger church. That is why it's good to maintain connections with other churches of our presbytery and within the OPC and other Bible-believing churches. Yet even the few companions we have on the narrow way, they are true companions, and the fellowship with them is a blessing. Tell me, who would you rather hang out with? A crowd of unbelievers or this small group of believers here with you this morning? These few companions are true companions, as Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, that his disciples will be known by their love for one another. There are few on the narrow way because there are few who find it. Romans 3:11, the Apostle Paul says, there are few who seek after God. And in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. It's only after God calls us that we look for and find the narrow way. The broad way lures its travelers with the idea of everybody's doing it, and if you're not with them, you'll be left out and lonely. But the broad way leads to a worse kind of loneliness, alienation from God. Your companions on the broad way are really only self-seeking who really do not care about others with them on the broad way. The few on the narrow way are true companions who are known by their love for one another. Finally, you should choose the narrow way because it leads to life. You usually choose a road not so much because it's a nice road, but because it takes you where you want to go. The broad way may take you where you don't want to go. The broad way leads to destruction. It can lead to destruction even in this life before you reach the final judgment of God. Those who care only for themselves and seek only their own pleasure usually end up ruining their lives. They don't usually think of the consequences until it's too late. Then the marriage is broken. The unwanted baby is conceived. The disease is contracted. An addiction is started. A prison term is given. Families are torn apart. These are just some of the consequences of following the broad way. It can bring pain and sorrow into your life as well as the life of your loved ones. But worse than all that, it leads to everlasting punishment. Many people think that when you are dead, that's it. There's no pain, no sorrow, no regret. But that's not what the Bible says. It speaks of eternal judgment. It speaks of eternal regret. What the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 48, it describes hell as a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Death is not total destruction of the soul so that it no longer exists. It is eternal punishment of the everlasting soul. Matthew 13:50 speaks of the judgment as being cast into a fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that sure doesn't sound like a blast. Is that where you want to go? Is that where you want to end up? You must be careful. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." The right way is not what we think, but what God says. In contrast to this, the narrow way leads to life. Real life now. We don't have to wait for heaven. Right now, you can enjoy the peace and joy of living your life according to God's word, of putting God first in our lives and seeking to serve him. The narrow way will not have the same tragic consequences as those who seek their own selfish pleasure in a life dominated by sin. Real life, as God intended it to be, is a life of fellowship with him and serving him. It also includes eternal life of blessedness and joy in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." There is nothing in this world that we could compare to the joy and the glory waiting for those who are on the narrow way. The decision is yours. Only you can make the choice. Are you going to enter by the narrow gate or by the wide gate? The wide gate is the default gate. If you do not choose the narrow gate, you will continue through the wide gate with many others that lead to destruction. Or will you look for the narrow gate and seek to enter by the narrow gate? The narrow gate is a more difficult gate. It's more difficult because it requires turning from sin that you were born in and then turning to righteousness, which does not come natural to us. It's more difficult because it requires to put off the old self, which is known by its unbelief and its sinful ways, and putting on the new self created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:22-23. And that takes some work. But the truth is, you can't do this on your own. You need God's help. You need to call on him and ask him to help you to enter by the narrow gate. Entering by the narrow gate means believing that Jesus bore the judgment that your sins deserve on the cross when he was crucified. It means believing that he has given you a new life in his spirit to guide you through the narrow gate to a new life of serving him. It means committing your life to Christ and following him in his way as taught in the Bible. Maybe you have already trusted in Christ, but have wandered off the narrow way and you need to get back on the narrow path. Now is the time to recommit yourself to follow him more faithfully. Confess your sins and turn to him, and he will help you to turn from sin and continue down the narrow way, get you back on track. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this simple truth that you give to us in your word concerning the narrow way and the broad way. Lord, what a profound truth is here. And Lord, we do pray that you will help each and every one of us as we seek to go down the narrow way. We know the difficulties because of our sinful natures that are not easily to take down the narrow way. But we do pray by your Spirit that you will work in us and through us, that you will help us down the narrow way. And if there are any who are not on the narrow way, we pray that you will help them to turn to the narrow way and follow you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.